Hey, the Red Cross needs your help. They depend on financial donations to provide disaster relief immediately, and people in Houston need it immediately. You can help the people affected by Hurricane Harvey by visiting redcross.org. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or text the word HARVEY to 90999 to make a $10 donation. Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910 and the iHeartRadio app. I want to thank Chris Dent of Richmond. He was the fourth caller listening, won Flying Squirrels tickets, and I also understand it is his upcoming birthday. So happy early birthday, Mr. Dent. John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, just celebrating a birthday a couple weeks ago. Joining us now, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff, and there for you in any case. And the case is, dude, it's finally game week. After months and months of talking and previewing, we finally have a game to talk about, and I'm sure that makes you happy.
It does make me happy, Wes, and it is game week, but first and foremost, it's baby week, and as the pending godfather of your unborn daughter, I have to tend to family matters first. Now, we're excited for personal things, too, but yeah, you can definitely tell it's been ratcheted up a notch here in Blacksburg, as I'm sure it has been on campuses across the country, and it feels good to stop all the talking, despite the fact that that's what we do for a living, and actually have some game action to call and talk about and watch, more importantly.
Let me work internally, and then I'll get to the matchup. Two Deep released the other day. Who or what caught your eye on the Virginia Tech Two Deep?
Well, you have an eye immediately to the receivers and where some of those guys are, and there's some positives and there's also some question marks. You know, I thought Phil Patterson had an exceptional camp, and obviously he didn't do enough to be on one of those top two lines as a receiver. Same with Henry Murphy. But at the same time, you're pleased with the names Hezekiah Grimsley and Sean Savoy, who are on that two deep for the Hokies. And I think all of those guys are going to get playing time. I don't put a ton of stock, not just with this coaching staff, but in a lot of coaching staffs these days, with the two deep, because they're going to play so many people. But the biggest news, I think, at least on the offensive side of the ball, was that Kyle Chung has taken over for Tyrell Smith, at least on that one line at right tackle. We haven't seen Chung at tackle. We've seen him at center. We've seen him at guard, but we haven't seen him out at the tackle. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how that's going to go. And he was rolling with the ones yesterday when I was over there. So that's not just something that's on paper. That seems to be the way they're going to line up, at least at the beginning against West Virginia.
I do find that to be interesting because we know about the left side of the line. The right side of the line is going to be interesting. Let me go back to the receivers here, because we talked about these receivers and skill position players, but a guy who his name has been brought up more frequently, and then you see him in the two deep. What can you tell us? What will we see Sunday from Sean Savoy?
Well, Savoy, it looks a lot like Cam Phillips. Now, I don't want to make that comparison as to what they're capable of doing right now, because Cam's going to be one of the best receivers in the conference in the country. But physically, they're kind of the same guy. And I think Savoy is that guy. He's not your prototypical slot receiver. He doesn't look like C.J. Carroll, and he's a little bit bigger than that. He could be outside if you really needed him to be. But I think he's going to be that middle-of-the-field type receiver, that grinded out 8-yard route, or 8-yard pattern, I should say. And I think that they like this guy a lot in the fact that they have confidence that if you squeeze it into him, he's going to make that catch. He's not going to let your quarterback down, and that's not something the Hokies can afford with Josh Jackson in his first action. So I like him a lot. He's a little bit bigger than Hezekiah Grimsley is, the other name that's right next to his on that two deep. And I'm really curious, Wes. It's interesting going into this season how little we know with how much these guys are going to be featured, if at all, and in what way.
Yeah, there's practice reps, and then there's game reps. Sunday night, coverage begins at 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 910. Brian Mitchell, defensive backs coach, yesterday said Brandon Faison is 100%, just got the cast off, and 100%. So help me out here. Just got the cast off and 100% usually don't go hand in hand. Why do they, at least in his case?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. No, I mean, I think he is 100% in terms of his availability and the fact that they do intend for him to play against West Virginia, and I think that's what Coach Mitchell meant by that, is he's 100% full go. And that wrist, you know, has lingered a little bit, certainly. He does have the cast off. He had a very light wrap on it, but he was not limited at all in practice yesterday or the days before from what I was witnessing. So, yeah, he should be good to go, and how they'll deploy him will be interesting. I think from a conditioning standpoint, he should be fine because he was going through practice reps and camp reps, even though he was not cleared for contact for most of camp. So he should be just fine. And again, he'll have to rely on it, has experience in years past. But it's nice that he's not going in completely cold, in that he'll be able to get in at least 6 to 7 practices before you actually go at it at FedEx Field.
Mountaineers and Hokies, Sunday night at FedEx. Let's flip it over. I know you probably have your notes out all over. You're studying up on Dana Holgorsen's team, and I could ask you.
I'm coming to you, Wes, from Renee's makeup table, so I do have that scenario, but it's over at my office.
I did not want to describe where you're at, but Lay's in the spare bedroom where his fiance does her makeup. That's a different story for a different day. Let me get to the story here with West Virginia. I imagine the story of the conversation about the Mountaineers start with Will Grier. He's good. I mean, people forget how good he was before he got suspended at Florida. Is that like the point where you start looking at West Virginia?
Yeah, obviously you'd look at the quarterback first and what he may be capable of, but the story for me is well beyond him, because I think that we know what he is. I don't think Bud Foster's buying into the, oh, he hasn't played in 2 years, and oh, he might be rusty and all of these things. I think he's expecting a very capable quarterback who can spread the football around. But I think with West Virginia, it's very similar to Virginia Tech, in that you have some stabilized and experienced running backs, but that cannot be said of the receiving core. There, Cam Phillips is Caron White, Kevin White's younger brother, whom they're hoping for a breakout season like Kevin White had back in his final season in Morgantown. But beyond that, you've got a bunch of unprovens. You've got a guy in David Sills who comes back from dabbling as a quarterback in the junior college ranks. He was a receiver as a freshman, but that was 2 years ago for Dana Holgorsen. At the same time, you've got a guy suspended in Marcus Sims who will not play. You've got a guy in Jovan Durant who just transferred last week, and you expected to be a part of that mix. So you've got some youth. Gary Jennings is a guy that they're excited about, but you just don't know. It's kind of the same scenario as it is for Tech, Wes, in that you see all these guys, they're very talented, they seem to have had good camps, and now can they go do it under the bright lights? And for both teams, Grier may not start the story, because much like Tech, it may revolve around whether or not you can run the football.
Yeah, we talked about the right side of the O-line for Virginia Tech. You got this 3-3-5 defense from West Virginia, and I believe all three up front are brand new. They're totally inexperienced for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, they returned just one sack off their defensive line, and that's from a kid by the name of Adam Schuler, who is not a returning starter but did register a sack last year in reserve role. So, yeah, just one career start as well along that offensive line. But it's not necessarily the physical presence of those three. It's the unpredictability of what Tony Gibson is going to do in terms of deploying the linebackers to come up and help. Linebacker and the secondary are where they are the strongest, particularly their safeties, although they did have another camp injury with David Long, who was one of their more experienced linebackers coming back this year. So that defense for them is a big question mark. It's not devoid of talent by any means. You've got Davon Askew-Henry, who's going to be a top-round NFL draft pick. You've got Kaiser White, who's the youngest brother of Kevin and Caron White, at that other safety position. So there's some talent on that defense, but if I am being forced to give you an answer, Wes, and I will, I think that Tech is going to have success with that offensive line pushing some people around from a physical standpoint.
John Lazor's going to stick around. We'll come back. We'll talk about the history lesson that he has learned about West Virginia and Virginia Tech this week. And, of course, there will be a Lazor's Lightning Round. John Lazor, Wes McElroy, brought to you by Cowan Gates on Fox Sports 910.